the song, Brother Andrew, you picked out the song "Glory to His Name." That's matches up good with the psalm here, this is a long psalm, longer than any of the other ones we've done. We'll learn a little bit more about that in the introduction, but I'll read it. I will read it all today. I'm not going to read it all every week. I've timed myself. It takes me anywhere from 7 to 8 minutes to read through this thing here. But we're not going to do. We'll pick out some verses that we're going to cover each week and read over them. But as we start, we're going to read the whole thing here. If I got to take a couple drinks to get through it, we're going to do it. So, nevertheless, Psalm 18. We're going to read the caption or the title as well. There's a little bit of stuff that we'll talk about that in introduction as well. But it's interesting to read it here. We'll talk, say more about this. But it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. Verse 8, there went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He hath recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise up. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength into the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. I cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me, for thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Psalm 18. There you go. If you haven't read a chapter today, now you have. So, that was a lot. I'm not a fast reader, as you can tell, but I try not to get fast. My wife tells me every time I get fast, I mess up something. And so I try not to do that. But we thank the Lord for his word, for the reading of his word. You know, we could just stop right now. There's nothing better than the pure word of God. That's we right. could stop right now and say the Lord has taught us something this morning. If you paid attention as we read these verses, there's clearly nothing more that I can add. I will add as to help give you what the Lord has given me, but we could seriously just stop at this point and pray the rest of the time and thank the Lord for what he's done. But nonetheless, here we go. By way of introduction, I've just kind of entitled this lesson, this psalm, a David's song of deliverance. There are some psalms that are prayers, and there's some that are songs. We found that in the heading here of it. And as I read that, we see that this is a song, and it's a song that David wrote, and he wrote it to thank the Lord for delivering him. And we see that through the verses here. But as we move on in our study in Psalm 18, we find a psalm that is a song. Again, many psalms are prayers, but some are songs. David had a lot to sing about here, and he wrote about it in Psalm 18. He sings about the many times the Lord delivered him from his enemies and protected him from evil men that sought to kill him, especially the murderous King Saul, who chased David for many years. And we've looked at that as different psalms that we've studied already had to deal with that and with Saul. And we know the stories. Most of you have been here for years. You know these stories. You know the scriptures. This psalm is the fourth largest of the entire 150 psalms. Only fourth to Psalm 78, 89, and of course 119. This psalm can also be found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, with a few word variations back and forth. As I read and studied what some men have said, some people have called it the one in 2 Samuel. They called it the second edition of Psalm 18, but nonetheless, it's still the Word of God. This psalm does, however, have the largest heading that I read there at the beginning. Whether that means anything or not, I don't know. It's just something to note. Keep in mind, as we study the psalms, now we are going, unless the Lord directs me otherwise, I have divert it from time to time to another psalm that's further down the road. I remember doing that a time or two. But the psalms are not written, as they're laid out in the Bible here, they're not necessarily in chronological order. So when we think about this psalm here, some of them are and some of them aren't. But Psalm 18 is pretty early in 150 psalms. Again, David didn't write them all. But if you were to go back to 2 Samuel and 22, where it's written again, if you got to the end of the chapter and bumped over into chapter 23, it speaks there of, and I don't know the time span there as well, but those chapters in that book back up one to the other, and it said that it says, I know what it says, but I'm going to look at it. You can just hang right there. Second Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1 says, "Now these are the last words of David, the son of Jesse." So if 22 backed right up to 23, they followed each other, then this is later in David's life. And certainly, as we look at it and we see it, as keep in mind that it's a song, okay? It's meant to be all together. Now, we're not going to be able to study it all together for time restraints, and I don't think I could stand here and give you the whole thing, even if I didn't have a time restraint. But keep in mind, it's a song. It all goes together. And, you know, I was thinking as I was reading it, maybe it would be a good way to end this lesson when we get to the end, whenever we get to the end, is to read that whole thing again, just to put it all together. And let me challenge you, as we study it, it's going to take us several weeks to get through this, but as we study it, you know, a couple times a week, as you read the Word of God, read Psalm 18. You know, you might see something that I don't see. You could share it with me. I'd be more than happy to listen to what the Lord has blessed you with. But as we study it, and any of the Psalms, if you know where we're at, read that during the week. It helps you. It helps you to check up on me. You should check up on me to see what I'm saying, whether it's right. It should be, as far as I know, the Lord give me, you know, what he's given me. I've tried to rightly divide the word. But at any rate, let's look at Psalm 18 as a song of deliverance. See what we can do to apply it to our lives. The first thing we're going to look at here is in verses 1 through 3. I don't know that we're going to get all the way through them today, but we'll get as far as we go, and that'll be fine. The first, number 1 in the outline, is going to be praises for deliverances. We're going to look at several things about praises for deliverances. Now, we're going to see these in verses 1 through 3, and we're going to do something a little different here than we normally do, because I usually am going verse by verse, and we are. But there's praises for deliverance in the beginning, and there's praises for deliverance as David finishes the psalm. So we're going to look at 1 through 3, and then hopefully, Lord willing, next week we'll look through at verses 46 through 50. Because, as you know, many times I've said this, the Psalms usually start with Wyatt?
Problems.
Okay, Wyatt, you zip it. And they end with Kobe.
Praise.
Very good. All in the same pew. At least we're awake over here. But I've said this over and again, they start with problems and end with praise. But this one, we see, starts with praise and it ends with praise. That means this is a little different than what we're used to, accustomed to studying here. And so, that's good. You don't see David complaining in this psalm. He's explaining, but he's not complaining. And he's giving praise all the way through this for what the Lord has done. He goes into detail of what the Lord has done through this psalm, through his life. This is kind of David's life, boom, sucked into a nutshell here, and how he's praising God for the deliverances that he has given him. I would say also, in light of that, that praise permeates this psalm all the way through. No matter where you're looking in this psalm, you can see praise one end to another. That's why I said the song was good. Glory to his name. That's praise. We began the service out good this morning with praise, singing praise to the Lord. So we said number one is praise for the deliverances. And under that, we see praise in the beginning. That's what we're going to look at here in the next 15 minutes or so. The Bible says here, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The psalm begins with praise. You cannot go wrong in your prayers or your songs by praising God. Amen. There's no prayer that you can ever send up to heaven that you'll go wrong by starting it out with just praising God. Adoration for him, what he's done. It sets the tone for your prayer. I've used the example before about my children. You know, my children ask for something. They don't come and demand things from me. They ask for things. And you know, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is we're going to have to wait on that. But, you know, if any of them just rushed into my presence and, Dad, I need this, and they're out the door, you think they're going to get what they're asking for? They're not going to get what they're asking for because they're not spending any time with me. As we pray to God, our prayers should give us to start out with some adoration for God, some praise for him, thanking him for what he's done. I've learned that over the years as God has taught me to pray. What did, you know, you say, well, that might sound weird. God taught you to pray? Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray. And he taught them. He gave them examples. But you know, we should always start our prayers out with thanksgiving, with praise to the Lord. I think we'll get a whole lot further with God if we spend some time praising him. You know, there's even been some times in my life where I started, especially in the morning before I read my Bible and spend some time devotion with the Lord, there's been times where I've just got caught up in praising him. Tracy, there have been some times I just totally, I didn't forget what I was going to pray about, but I got to the end because I've been praising the Lord and said, Lord, you know my needs. You know what I was going to pray about. And you know I'm running short on time, got to get to work and all that stuff. You take care of them things. I just enjoyed the time with you. Just enjoyed praising him and being in fellowship with him, being closer to him. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, God knows all those needs. And he'd rather have me spend some time praising him than go through a repetition of, you know, do this, Lord, do this, do that. Please help this one, help that one, help that one. You know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray those things. We should. God's taught us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He wants us to. But sometimes, folks, it's just good just spend some time praising him. Mess your service, so to speak, up at home. You know, Pastor, when he got started here, he liked to change the little things in the service. And it's, you know, and be honest, you know, you get used to a certain way. And you know, at first, things were like, ugh, yeah, I don't know if I like that. But then you're like, what's there to like? I mean, really? We were doing the same thing. We're just doing it a little bit different fashion. And that's fine. But your time with the Lord, mess it up a little bit every now and then. Get it just... get in there and get with God and mess it up. But I'm getting all sidetracked, but I'm still on the same thought as the psalm begins here. It is good to start our prayer or our song out with praise to the Lord. Any of y'all that are singing specials here, that's a good thought to have as, you know, well, what do I sing? What do you want me to sing, Lord? It's not necessarily what you want to sing. It's not your catchy little tune or whatever. If you're singing, you should be singing to the Lord. You're singing before men, but you're singing to the Lord and for the Lord. And that's good advice there as well to start it out with praise. It's all about him, folks. It is all about him. Without him, we are nothing. First thing I want to see about praise in the beginning is the affections in praise. We see in verse 1, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The finest praise for God is to love him. There's nothing greater that you and I could do for the Lord than to love him. We could spend our whole lives trying to serve him, trying to live for him, trying to be a witness for him, and all those things are good. But he wants us to love him. And if we think about what he's done for us, we should love him.
That's right. Amen.
John, 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. We've got reason to love him. David had reason to love him. He had reason to have affection in his praise for him. He is to love him. You know, if you were to love someone in your family, love someone in the family of God here as well, there should be love here as well, not just in your house, in your own family. We should love one another here. And if we're to do that, you know, it's nice to let them know once in a while. Husbands, it's kind of nice if you let your wife know once in a while you love them. It's good. I know, Angie. I love you, honey. Hopefully from up here it means a little more because I probably haven't said it today, but I do, you know. But just because I do, and because I said I do years ago, doesn't mean that I don't tell her that I love her. That wouldn't be much of a marriage if the only time you told her you loved her was before you got married, and then once you got the ring on her finger, that was done. You know, you've heard that people say, well, I told her I loved her. She knows I love her. That's not the way it works. I hate to break that to you. Some of you fellows are sitting there with your head down. That's not the way it works. Little advice. I'm 30 years in. Not even much to some of you older fellows. Dave, tell her you love her. I know you do. You just stuck out there to me, brother. He wasn't one of the ones bowing their heads either. But no, we should tell her likewise we love her, love them. But as well, the application here is that we love the Lord. Yes. You know, what kind of marriage would we have if we never told them, our spouses, that we love them? Wouldn't be much. And our marriage is likened to us being our relationship with the Lord as well. We should tell him that we love him. David says to him, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He had affection for him. Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verses 1 through, well, we'll stop. I think we'll stop maybe at 7. It says, verse 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Let me stop right there and say, David, we'll get more into this, but David had a choice to love the Lord. You and I have a choice. But here in Psalm 116, David had a reason to love the Lord. Well, you and I have a reason to love. I will love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. David, again, here in Psalm 116, he's saying that he loves the Lord. He's got affection toward him. Turn over in back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Familiar verses here as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 and 5. There's other verses we could read here, but we're just going to read these. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. We are commanded to love the Lord. David had a choice. He had a choice in his life. He could have loved the world and all it had to offer, for David eventually was the king. He had anything that he wanted as king. Now, before he got to be king, he wasn't necessarily in that situation, but still, he could have had anything he wanted as the king. And he could have chose to, you know, his heart was with the Lord before then, but it could have turned his heart. It could have changed his choice. What happened to Solomon? The women turned his heart from the Lord. Things can turn you from the Lord. It can change your choice. We should have affection in our praise. David had a choice in his life. He could have loved the world and all it had to offer, but he chose to love the Lord. He said, "I will love thee," in verse 1 of 18. "I will love thee, O Lord." He knew where his strength was coming from. Here at the end of the verse, it says, "O Lord, my strength." He knew that without the Lord, it was impossible for him to even love God. David was a very dependent man upon the Lord. Although we look at him as a mighty warrior and a king, and you know, we see him as a child, a teenager, as slaying the lion and the bear and all that, and seemed like, yeah, what quite a man and a mighty warrior, a man of war. But yet David was dependent upon the Lord, and he knew how to show affection to God in his prayers, even though he was a mighty man. Men, to show affection to the Lord does not make you a weak man. To love God does not mean you're a weak man. Don't ever think that, or let the world think that you have a crutch in the church or a crutch in the Lord, that you're not as strong as them, or you're not as tough as them, or whatever. With God, we stand a far better chance than they ever do. But without Him, we are nothing. We simply need to realize, as men and women as well, but as men, it's a manly thing. You want to be, you know, as a boy. Most boys want to grow up and be strong. Most boys look up to their father, and their father's a strong man to them. And you know, I remember them days growing up and looking at my dad, and he was like the Energizer Bunny. He just never quit, and he was strong, and he could do things, and I wanted to be like my dad. And, you know, but to want to be strong physically is one thing, but to want to be a strong man of God is a different thing. And David had a choice, but he chose to love the Lord. His affections in his praise are showed here in verse 1. I was hoping to get through 3, but we just got through 1. That's okay. We'll work on the next 2 next week, maybe move on to the end of the chapter. But think about David and his deliverances. As you take some time this week, read Psalm 18 over again. I challenge you. Again, this is going to take me weeks to get through this. You see, I got through 1 verse today. But as we go through this, read it. I challenge you to read it once a week. And accept the challenge and go above it. And read it. Study it. I'd love to hear someone say, "Hey, did you see this? I know you haven't got there yet, but did you see this?" You know, once in a while, Pastor Cobins will come up to me and say, "Hey," and I'll see him down there every now and then. He's got that pen going. He's stealing outlines, all that kind of stuff, which is fine. I've got plenty from him. But he's got thoughts, and he'll come to me and say, "Hey, would you think about this?" I don't shrug him off for that. I'm glad that he's seen something, and most time it's something I didn't see. And I appreciate that. And it's thoughtful, and I like that. He doesn't need to be the only one. I would gladly love to talk to y'all about what you're learning or what you might see in the verses that we study. So we'll go at it again next week and the weeks following, and maybe we'll finish up at Christmas time. Who knows?